But you guys, Tartarus has to be the real story. What happened down there? How did you...
Percy laced his fingers through Annabeth's. Hazel happened to glance at Nico and saw pain in his eyes. She wasn't sure, but maybe he was thinking how lucky Percy and Annabeth were to have each other. Nico had gone through Tartarus alone.
We'll tell you the story, Percy promised. But not yet, okay? I'm not ready to remember that place.
No, Annabeth agreed. Right now...
She gazed toward the river and faltered.
I think our ride is coming.
Hazel turned. The Argo II veered to port, its aerial oars in motion, its sails catching the wind. Festus's head glinted in the sunlight. Even from a distance, Hazel could hear him creaking and clanking in jubilation.
That's my boy, Leo yelled.
As the ship got closer, Hazel saw Coach Hedge standing at the prow.
About time,
the coach yelled down. He was doing his best to scowl, but his eyes gleamed as if maybe, just maybe, he was happy to see them.
What took you so long, cupcakes? You kept your visitor waiting.
Visitor? Hazel murmured. At the rail next to Coach Hedge, a dark-haired girl appeared, wearing a purple cloak. Her face so covered with soot and bloody scratches that Hazel almost didn't recognize her. Raina had arrived.
Chapter 77. Percy.
Percy stared at the Athena Parthenos, waiting for it to strike him down. Leo's new mechanical hoist system had lowered the statue onto the hillside with surprising ease. Now the 40-foot-tall goddess gazed serenely over the River Acheron, her gold dress like molten metal in the sun.
Incredible, Raina admitted. She was still red-eyed from crying. Soon after she'd landed on the Argo II, her Pegasus, Scipio, had collapsed, overwhelmed by poisoned claw marks from a griffin attack the night before. Raina had put the horse out of his misery with her golden knife, turning the Pegasus into dust that scattered in the sweet-smelling Greek air. Maybe not a bad end for a flying horse, but Raina had lost a loyal friend. Percy figured that she'd given up too much in her life already. The praetor circled the Athena Parthenos warily.
It looks newly made.
Yeah, Leo said. We brushed off the cobwebs, used a little Windex. It wasn't hard.
The Argo II hovered just overhead. With Festus keeping watch for threats on the radar, the entire crew had decided to eat lunch on the hillside while they discussed what to do. After the last few weeks, Percy figured they'd earned a good meal together. Really, anything that wasn't firewater or draken meat soup.
Hey, Raina, Annabeth called. Have some food. Join us.
The praetor glanced over. Her dark eyebrows furrowed, as if join us didn't quite compute. Percy had never seen Raina without her armor before. It was on board the ship, being repaired by Buford the Wonder Table. She wore a pair of jeans and a purple Camp Jupiter t-shirt and looked almost like a normal teenager, except for the knife at her belt and that guarded expression, like she was ready for an attack from any direction.
All right, she said finally.
They scooted over to make room for her in the circle. She sat cross-legged next to Annabeth, picked up a cheese sandwich, and nibbled at the edge.
So, Raina said, Frank Jong, praetor.
Frank shifted, wiping crumbs from his chin.
Well, yeah. Field promotion.
To lead a different legion, Raina noted. A legion of ghosts.
Hazel put her arm protectively through Frank's. After an hour in sickbay, they both looked a lot better, but Percy could tell they weren't sure what to think about their old boss from Camp Jupiter dropping in for lunch.
Reyna, Jason said, you should have seen him.
He was amazing, Piper agreed.
Frank is a leader, Hazel insisted. He makes a great preter.
Reyna's eyes stayed on Frank, like she was trying to guess his weight.
I believe you, she said. I approve.
Frank blinked.
You do?
Reyna smiled dryly.
A son of Mars? The hero who helped to bring back the Eagle of the Legion? I can work with a demigod like that. I'm just wondering how to convince the 12th Fulminata.
Frank scowled.
Yeah, I've been wondering the same thing.
Percy still couldn't get over how much Frank had changed. A growth spurt was putting it mildly. He was at least 3 inches taller, less pudgy, and more bulky, like a linebacker. His face looked sturdier, his jawline more rugged. It was as if Frank had turned into a bull and then back to human, but he'd kept some of the bullishness.
The Legion will listen to you, Reyna, Frank said. You made it here alone, across the ancient lands.
Reyna chewed her sandwich as if it were cardboard.
In doing so, I broke the laws of the Legion.
Caesar broke the law when he crossed the Rubicon, Frank said. Great leaders have to think outside the box sometimes.
She shook her head.
I'm not Caesar. After finding Jason's note in Diocletian's palace, tracking you down was easy. I only did what I thought was necessary.
Percy couldn't help smiling.
Reyna, you're too modest. Flying halfway across the world by yourself to answer Annabeth's plea? Because you knew it was our best chance for peace? That's pretty freaking heroic.
Reyna shrugged.
Says the demigod who fell into Tartarus and found his way back.
He had help, Annabeth said.
Oh, obviously, Reyna said. Without you, I doubt Percy could find his way out of a paper bag.
True,
Annabeth agreed.
Hey,
Percy complained. The others started laughing, but Percy didn't mind. It felt good to see them smile. Heck, just being in the mortal world felt good. Breathing unpoisonous air, enjoying actual sunshine on his back. Suddenly, he thought of Bob.
Tell the sun and stars hello for me.
Percy's smile melted.
Bob and Damison had sacrificed their lives so that Percy and Annabeth could sit here now, enjoying the sunlight and laughing with their friends. It wasn't fair.
Leo pulled a tiny screwdriver from his tool belt. He stabbed a chocolate-covered strawberry and passed it to Coach Hedge. Then he pulled out another screwdriver and speared a second strawberry for himself.
So, the 20 million peso question, Leo said. We got this slightly used 40-foot-tall statue of Athena. What do we do with it?
Reyna squinted at the Athena Parthenos.
As fine as it looks on this hill, I didn't come all this way to admire it. According to Annabeth, it must be returned to Camp Half-Blood by a Roman leader. Do I understand correctly?
Annabeth nodded.
I had a dream down in, you know, Tartarus. I was on Half-Blood Hill, and Athena's voice said, I must stand here. The Roman must bring me.
Percy studied the statue uneasily. He'd never had the best relationship with Annabeth's mom. He kept expecting Big Mama's statue to come alive and chew him out for getting her daughter into so much trouble. Or maybe just step on him without a word.
It makes sense, Nico said.
Percy flinched. It almost sounded like Nico had read his mind and was agreeing that Athena should step on him. The son of Hades sat at the other end of the circle, eating nothing but half a pomegranate, the fruit of the underworld. Percy wondered if that was Nico's idea of a joke.
The statue is a powerful symbol, Nico said. A Roman returning it to the Greeks? That could heal the historic rift. Maybe even heal the gods of their split personalities.
Coach Hedge swallowed his strawberry along with half the screwdriver.
Now hold on! I like peace as much as the next satyr.
You hate peace, Leo said.
The point is, Valdez, we're only, what, a few days from Athens? We got an army of giants waiting for us there. We went to all the trouble of saving this statue.
I went to most of the trouble, Annabeth reminded him.
Because that prophecy called it the giant's bane, the coach continued. So why aren't we taking it to Athens with us? It's obviously our secret weapon.
He eyed the Athena Parthenos.
It looks like a ballistic missile to me. Maybe if Valdez strapped some engines to it.
Piper cleared her throat.
Great idea, Coach. But a lot of us have had dreams and visions of Gia rising at Camp Half-Blood.
She unsheathed her dagger Catoptris and set it on her plate. At the moment, the blade showed nothing except sky, but looking at it still made Percy uncomfortable.
Since we got back to the ship, Piper said, I've been seeing some bad stuff in the knife. The Roman Legion is almost within striking distance of Camp Half-Blood. They're gathering reinforcements. Spirits, eagles, wolves.
Octavian, Reyna growled. I told him to wait.
When we take over command, Frank suggested, our first order of business should be to load Octavian into the nearest catapult and fire him as far away as possible.
Agreed, Reyna said. But for now...
He's intent on war, Annabeth put in. He'll have it unless we stop him.
Piper turned the blade of her knife.
Unfortunately, that's not the worst of it. I saw images of a possible future. The camp in flames. Roman and Greek demigods lying dead. And Gia...
Her voice failed her.
Percy remembered the god Tartarus in physical form, looming over him. He'd never felt such helplessness and terror. He still burned with shame, remembering how his sword had slipped out of his hand.
You might as well try to kill the Earth,
Tartarus had said. If Gia was that powerful and she had an army of giants at her side, Percy didn't see how 7 demigods could stop her, especially when most of the gods were incapacitated. They had to stop the giants before Gia woke, or it was game over. If the Athena Parthenos was a secret weapon, taking it to Athens was pretty tempting. Heck, Percy kind of liked the coach's idea of using it as a missile and sending Gia up in a godly nuclear mushroom cloud. Unfortunately, his gut told him that Annabeth was right. The statue belonged back on Long Island, where it might be able to stop the war between the two camps.
So Reyna takes the statue, Percy said, and we continue on to Athens.
Leo shrugged.
Cool with me, but, a few pesky logistical problems. We got what? 2 weeks until that Roman feast day when Gia is supposed to rise?
The Feast of Spes, Jason said. That's on the 1st of August. Today is...
July 18th, Frank offered. So, yeah, from tomorrow, exactly 14 days.
Hazel winced.
It took us 18 days to get from Rome to here. A trip that should have only taken 2 or 3 days max.
So, given our usual luck, Leo said, maybe we have enough time to get the Argo 2 to Athens, find the giants, and stop them from waking Gia.
Maybe.
But how is Reyna supposed to get this massive statue back to Camp Half-Blood before the Greeks and Romans put each other through the blender? She doesn't even have her Pegasus anymore.
Sorry.
Fine, Reyna snapped. She might be treating them like allies rather than enemies, but Percy could tell Reyna still had a not-so-soft spot for Leo, probably because he'd blown up half the Forum in New Rome. She took a deep breath. Unfortunately, Leo is correct. I don't see how I can transport something so large. I was assuming, well, I was hoping you all would have an answer. The labyrinth, Hazel said. I mean, if Pacify really has reopened it, and I think she has. She looked at Percy apprehensively. Well, you said the labyrinth could take you anywhere, so maybe... No. Percy and Annabeth spoke in unison. Not to shoot you down, Hazel, Percy said. It's just... He struggled to find the right words. How could he describe the labyrinth to someone who'd never explored it? Daedalus had created it to be a living, growing maze. Over the centuries, it had spread like the roots of a tree under the entire surface of the world. Sure, it could take you anywhere. Distance inside was meaningless. You could enter the maze in New York, walk 10 feet, and exit the maze in Los Angeles, but only if you found a reliable way to navigate. Otherwise, the labyrinth would trick you and try to kill you at every turn. When the tunnel network collapsed after Daedalus died, Percy had been relieved. The idea that the maze was regenerating itself, honeycombing its way under the earth again and providing a spacious new home for monsters? That didn't make him happy. He had enough problems already. For one thing, he said, the passages in the labyrinth are way too small for the Athena Parthenos. There's no chance you could take it down there. And even if the maze is reopening, Annabeth continued, we don't know what it might be like now. It was dangerous enough before, under Daedalus' control, and he wasn't evil. If Pacify has remade the labyrinth the way she wanted... She shook her head. Hazel, maybe your underground senses could guide Reyna through, but no one else would stand a chance, and we need you here. Besides, if you got lost down there... You're right, Hazel said glumly. Never mind. Reyna cast her eyes around the group. Other ideas?
I could go, Frank offered, not sounding very happy about it. If I'm a Praetor, I should go. Maybe we could rig some sort of sled or...
No, Frank Zhang, Reyna gave him a weary smile. I hope we will work side by side in the future. But for now, your place is with the crew of this ship. You are one of the 7 of the prophecy.
I'm not, Nico said.
Everybody stopped eating. Percy stared across the circle at Nico, trying to decide if he was joking. Hazel set down her fork.
Nico.
I'll go with Reyna, he said. I can transport the statue with shadow travel.
Percy raised his hand.
I mean, I know you just got all 8 of us to the surface, and that was awesome, but a year ago you said transporting just yourself was dangerous and unpredictable. A couple of times you ended up in China. Transporting a 40-foot statue and 2 people halfway across the world?
I've changed since I came back from Tartarus.
Nico's eyes glittered with anger, more intensely than Percy understood. He wondered if he'd done something to offend the guy.
Nico, Jason intervened, we're not questioning your power. We just want to make sure you don't kill yourself trying.
I can do it, he insisted. I'll make short jumps, a few 100 miles each time. It's true, after each jump, I won't be in any shape to fend off monsters. I'll need Reyna to defend me and the statue.
Reyna had an excellent poker face. She studied the group,
scanning their faces, but betraying none of her own thoughts.
Any objections?
No one spoke.
Very well, she said, with the finality of a judge.
If she had a gavel, Percy suspected she would have banged it.
I see no better option, but there will be many monster attacks. I would feel better taking a third person. That's the optimal number for a quest.
Coach Hedge, Frank blurted.
Percy stared at him, not sure he'd heard correctly.
What, Frank?
The coach is the best choice,
Frank said.
The only choice. He's a good fighter. He's a certified protector. He'll get the job done.
A fawn, Raina said.
Satyr, barked the coach. And yeah, I'll go. Besides, when you get to Camp Half-Blood, you'll need somebody with connections and diplomatic skills to keep the Greeks from attacking you. Just let me go make a call, get my baseball bat.
He got up and shot Frank an unspoken message that Percy couldn't quite read. Despite the fact that he'd just been volunteered for a likely suicide mission, the coach looked grateful. He jogged off toward the ship's ladder, tapping his hooves together like an excited kid. Nico rose.
I should go too, and rest before the first passage. We'll meet at the statue at sunset.
Once he was gone, Hazel frowned.
He's acting strangely. I'm not sure he's thinking this through.
He'll be okay, Jason said.
I hope you're right.
She passed her hand over the ground. Diamonds broke the surface. A glittering Milky Way of stones.
We're at another crossroads. The Athena Parthenos goes west. The Argo II goes east. I hope we chose correctly.
Percy wished he could say something encouraging, but he felt unsettled. Despite all they'd been through and all the battles they'd won, they still seemed no closer to defeating Gia. Sure, they'd released Thanatos. They'd closed the doors of death. At least now they could kill monsters and make them stay in Tartarus for a while. But the giants were back. All the giants.
One thing bothers me, he said. If the Feast of Spes is in 2 weeks, and Gia needs the blood of 2 demigods to wake, what did Claudius call it? The blood of Olympus? Then aren't we doing exactly what Gia wants, heading to Athens? If we don't go, and she can't sacrifice any of us, doesn't that mean she can't wake up fully?
Annabeth took his hand. He drank in the sight of her now that they were back in the mortal world, without the death mist, her blonde hair catching the sunlight. Even if she was still thin and wan like him, and her gray eyes were stormy with thought.
Percy, prophecies cut both ways, she said. If we don't go, we may lose our best and only chance to stop her. Athens is where our battle lies. We can't avoid it. Besides, trying to thwart prophecies never works. Gia could capture us somewhere else. Or spill the blood of some other demigods.
Yeah, you're right, Percy said. I don't like it, but you're right.
The mood of the group became as gloomy as Tartarus air, until Piper broke the tension.
Well,
she sheathed her blade and patted her cornucopia.
Good picnic. Who wants dessert?
Chapter 78 Percy. At sunset, Percy found Nico tying ropes around the pedestal of the Athena Parthenos.
Thank you, Percy said.
Nico frowned.
What for?
You promised to lead the others to the House of Hades, Percy said.
You did it.
Nico tied the ends of the ropes together, making a halter.
You got me out of that bronze jar in Rome. Saved my life yet again. It was the least I could do.
His voice was steely, guarded. Percy wished he could figure out what made this guy tick, but he'd never been able to. Nico was no longer the geeky kid from Westover Hall with the mytho-magic cards. Nor was he the angry loner who'd followed the ghost of Minus through the labyrinth. But who was he?
Also, Percy said, you visited Bob.
He told Nico about their trip through Tartarus. He figured if anyone could understand, Nico could.
You convinced Bob that I could be trusted, even though I never visited him. I never gave him a second thought. You probably saved our lives by being nice to him.
Yeah, well, Nico said, not giving people a second thought, that can be dangerous.
Dude, I'm trying to say thank you.
Nico laughed without humor.
I'm trying to say you don't need to. Now I need to finish this. If you could give me some space.
Yeah, okay.
Percy stepped back while Nico took up the slack on his ropes. He slipped them over his shoulders as if the Athena Parthenos were a giant backpack. Percy couldn't help feeling a little hurt, being told to take a hike. Then again, Nico had been through a lot. The guy had survived in Tartarus on his own. Percy understood firsthand just how much strength that must have taken. Annabeth walked up the hill to join them. She took Percy's hand, which made him feel better.
Good luck, she told Nico.
Yeah.
He didn't meet her eyes.
You too.
A minute later, Reyna and Coach Hedge arrived in full armor with packs over their shoulders. Reyna looked grim and ready for combat. Coach Hedge grinned like he was expecting a surprise party. Reyna gave Annabeth a hug.
We will succeed, she promised.
I know you will, Annabeth said.
Coach Hedge shouldered his baseball bat.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm going to get to camp and see my baby. I'm going to get this baby to camp.
He patted the leg of the Athena Parthenos.
All right, said Nico. Grab the ropes, please. Here we go.
Reyna and Hedge took hold. The air darkened. The Athena Parthenos collapsed into its own shadow and disappeared, along with its three escorts. The Argo II sailed after nightfall. They veered southwest until they reached the coast, then splashed down in the Ionian Sea. Percy was relieved to feel the waves beneath him again. It would have been a shorter trip to Athens over land, but after the crew's experience with mountain spirits in Italy, they decided not to fly over Gia's territory any more than they had to. They would sail around the Greek mainland, following the routes that Greek heroes had taken in the ancient times. That was fine with Percy. He loved being back in his father's element, with the fresh sea air in his lungs and the salty spray on his arms. He stood at the starboard rail and closed his eyes, sensing the currents beneath them. But images of Tartarus kept burning in his mind. The river Phlegethon, the blistered ground where monsters regenerated, the dark forest where Arai circled overhead in the blood-mist clouds. Most of all, he thought about a hut in the swamp with a warm fire and racks of drying herbs and draken jerky. He wondered if that hut was empty now. Annabeth pressed next to him at the rail, her warmth reassuring.
I know, she murmured, reading his expression. I can't get that place out of my head either.
Damison, Percy said, and Bob.
I know.
Her voice was fragile.
We have to make their sacrifice worth it. We have to beat Gia.
Percy stared into the night sky. He wished they were looking at it from the beach on Long Island, rather than from halfway around the world, sailing toward almost certain death.
He wondered where Nico, Reyna, and Hedge were now, and how long it would take them to make it back, assuming they survived. He imagined the Romans drawing up battle lines right now, encircling Camp Half-Blood. 14 days to reach Athens. Then, one way or another, the war would be decided. Over in the bow, Leo whistled happily as he tinkered with Festus's mechanical brain, muttering something about a crystal and an astrolabe. Amidships, Piper and Hazel practiced their swordplay, gold and bronze blades ringing in the night. Jason and Frank stood at the helm, talking in low tones, maybe telling stories of the Legion or sharing thoughts on being praetor.
"We've got a good crew," Percy said. "If I have to sail to my death..."
"You're not dying on me, seaweed brain," Annabeth said. "Remember? Never separate it again. And after we get home..."
"What?" Percy asked.
She kissed him. "Ask me again once we defeat Gia." He smiled, happy to have something to look forward to.
"Whatever you say."
As they sailed farther from the coast, the sky darkened, and more stars came out. Percy studied the constellations, the ones Annabeth had taught him so many years ago.
"Bob says hello,"
he told the stars. The Argo II sailed into the night. This is Nick Chamion. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Heroes of Olympus, Book 4, The House of Hades, by Rick Riordan. This program was directed by Fred Sanders, executive producer Janet Stark. Text copyright 2013 by Rick Riordan. Production copyright 2013, Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.